Welcome to Tunnel Talk, and No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah, and oh my God, you nailed it. You got through the whole thing. Yeah. And all the words were exactly where they were supposed to be.
I hope that the listeners have gathered by now that it's been a rough month for me when it comes to the intros and outros.
Added four words to the intro and it really has not been going great.
Fucked me up pretty bad, yeah. But I made it through pretty well there. How's everyone doing this week?
Good. I'm on vacation. It has been raining every day, but it was nice today. So that was nice. So I'm kind of on island time. I'm not on an island. I'm at a lake.
And you have a very pink, like rosy, like skin thing going on. You definitely got some sun.
I got some sun today. Yeah, it has rained every other day, but it was today. So I was out there. So, you know.
Have you been doing any like rainy lake puzzling or games or...
We actually didn't. We brought a jigsaw puzzle, but didn't really get into it. But, you know, I did a little video game, a little logic puzzling. So it hasn't been bad.
Yeah. That's good.
Love it. And Leah, how are you?
Good.
Happy? Are you feeling happy? Happy?
You tried to outsource your happiness earlier today, I saw.
I didn't like that, Leah.
I believe the things that are making me happy as crowdsourced by our Discord channel are Doc's dog and a video of the Japanese Pillars being boy band members.
And it's not, I wouldn't say that those things make me unhappy. And no. I appreciate all of the wonderful things that our listeners brought to the channel to try and help you. But what I would love to hear the very most is something that's actually making my good friend Leah happy.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who posted their pets, obviously. Those were good pets. We actually have had, not to rub it in your face, Anne, but we've had fantastic weather up here. And yesterday was like the first day that was like actually like hot. It was like, I think it got to like 78 degrees or something by the end of the day. And so after work, I got my car and I went to this restaurant nearby and picked up a milkshake. And then I went to the beach that has this like nice like stone wall along like right on the outside of the beach, and I sat on it and drank my milkshake and listened to an audiobook for like an hour and a half and just like watched our wife the ocean.
Sounds so nice. Yeah,
it was really nice. It was really pleasant. There was a lot of like babies and old people and, you know, illegal dogs that aren't supposed to be on the beach.
Nice. What flavor milkshake did you have?
Nutella.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, is this from a local place or? Yeah.
It's the same place that we went at Sarah's house, Crazy Good Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was
so good. This is like a New England milkshake where if you try to tip it over, nothing happens. Like, it is rock solid. So.
Nice.
I feel like that's in the Midwest. If you go to like a Culver's, that's like a concrete.
Yeah.
Deal. That's what they call it or something.
Yeah, where the straw is a joke. Like, what is the straw's not doing anything for you?
I was just reminded, I think Biden went to a Dairy Queen and then he was like holding the blizzard upside down, like, because that's the Dairy Queen thing. Yeah. But then a bunch of international people were like, what is he doing? Like, senility hits again.
No. In America, that is normal. And
in America, that's regular. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's in fact, the Dairy Queen employees are obligated to turn it upside down so you can see it don't fall out. That's just how we live here.
That's the how you check if a milkshake is good. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Oh my God, I forgot that about. Oh, I gotta go to Dairy Queen now that the weather is getting nice. There is one really near me.
Nice. Okay, I had a Dairy Queen little brownie batter blizzard the other week when I was at my work conference, and my work was paying for food, so I was like, free Dairy Queen. So, because otherwise, you know, the $5 would be
it's outside of the budget. Okay, Leah, that was really good. Hey, everyone, round of applause. Round of applause for Leah. She did a really good
job.
Anne,
can I have a round of applause, please?
Anne did not give Leah a round of applause, no.
Thank you so
and
much.
If you can see Anne's face right now, she did not want to do what she just did. She really resents that she was forced to give Leah a nice little round of applause for thinking of something that made her happy.
I hope that Anne gets right with herself and understands that this is the rest of the summer that I'm going to need to be emotionally bolstered.
Supported. Am I going to have to applaud you every third week?
Yeah, you might have to, Anne, but would you feel better about it if you also got applauded?
Have you not known me for like 8 years? Like, I literally only run on praise. Like, Trish and Sarah have figured out that they can get me to do literally anything if they praise me enough, and it is exploitation.
Yeah, they're going to start doing 4-hour podcasts, and they'll just be like, our producer Leah is so amazing on Twitter afterwards.
She'll be like, handle
that's
anything.
All I need.
Yeah, it is fucking working.
And do you want to, should we skip the wrestling and we can just stay here and unpack why you don't want to give Leah those applause? Should we spend the rest of the podcast on that maybe? Where is that resistance coming from?
Do we need like a third party mediator to get into
Oh my God, JR? Can we get JR?
If JR could sit between me and Leah, I think that would be really helpful. Yeah.
I'm honestly worried about what JR would do to the podcast if he got in here. You know, he just has that way of bringing everything to the surface. I think, well, for safety's sake, I think we better talk about the wrestling instead, to be quite honest. So let's start with a little update on the BCC. Brian Danielson and Claudio fought Top Flight on Collision, and Brian Danielson humiliated Leah.
Oh, my God. The fact that on last Thursday I said Brian Danielson has never given a rah-rah speech and never will, and then he promptly did on Saturday, so that when the pod came out on Sunday, I looked like a goddamn fool.
Yeah, I can't say that it was a good situation for you.
It really was not.
Everyone listening to was like, wow, that Leah, Leah's dumbest so girl.
But in Leah's defense, it was not a good rah-rah speech. I'm sorry, Brian Danielson, but it was pretty bad.
It was perverted that he got the crowd to chant AEW instead of the traditional AE dub. Like, Brian, have you ever watched the show?
He's busy meditating. He does his match. He goes back. He meditates. He reads a little book. He goes home. He doesn't know what happens other than that.
Yeah. He did. I did appreciate that he either this week or last week shared yet another Mary Oliver poem.
Did he?
Instagram, I think. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, the man has good taste in poetry.
God bless.
It was a totally fine promo, though. It was like not bad. It was just very paint by numbers.
It was very paint by numbers. I think. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like it wasn't
uniquely
horrendous, but I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but it's whatever. Claudio did leave in the middle because he didn't like it either.
Claudio's like, I can't. We're saying the whole W. I'm not standing for this.
Yeah, and he had a little promo later on Collision. It was a little difficult to follow this, honestly, but Lexi Nair was like, why, like, what's going on with you right now? And he was like, I support my friend Brian Danielson in everything he does. And it's his last year as a full-time wrestler. I think you should do anything you want. That's fine. But I don't think you should be wrestling with Eddie Kingston, and I don't trust him. And I just can't really, I love AEW, but I just can't really be getting involved in this. And then he left. And I was like, well, I'm not sure that this like fully, I don't know. Exactly what's going on here. But Lexi Nair was looking at him so concerned, and I was obsessed with that. Like, she really looked like, is he okay?
Which is funny, because he was being very reasonable and, like, rational. And it is wild for Brian Danielson and Eddie to be teaming up now and to be like, I have concerns for his health. Like, sure.
Yeah. I guess they had such a big breakthrough, though. I guess I am kind of like, their promo together where they made peace was so good that now I'm like, yeah, they'll ride into battle together. Like, that part makes sense to me.
But I don't know if Claudio witnessed that, you know? Like, Claudio.
He didn't watch the show. It's always coming back to that. Mm-hmm.
I do think it's reasonable because Eddie's, like, I do appreciate that at any point Eddie can just turn on you and just be like, no, I'm bad now. And so, like, and I think, you know, Mox has done the thing where he's just like, that's just Eddie. I don't know what I mean. Sometimes he wants to kill you. Sometimes he wants to fuck you. I don't know what's going on. But, like, with Claudio, if he's only ever experienced Eddie being mad at him. It does kind of make sense to me that he's like, I'm sorry. Eddie, the guy who's held a grudge all this time, we're just trusting him now, even though we've watched him do like all this like fucked up shit to himself and others for years. Yeah, like it yeah. does make sense. But it also is kind of a funny thing where I'm like, well, Claudio also like got humiliated by time because as he was saying, I'm not going to be in Anarchy in the Arena because of Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston was like, well, I'm not going to be in Anarchy in the Arena either.
Because I'm in a wheelchair. Yeah, so that is the next point here is that Eddie did get injured at NJPW Resurgence, and he is no longer going to be in Anarchy in the Arena. So that was one of the kind of like hot questions of Dynamite this week is like, what is to be? Will he be in the match? No. And then who will be in the match instead? So let's shoot over to Dynamite. Mox returned to TV. He and Danielson fought Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher because the BCC Don Callis feud is kind of ongoing, which I didn't really realize.
I really didn't either. Like, Mox has been off TV for so long and no one else has really been doing anything. And Don Callis is doing stuff with other people. It was just like, oh, okay.
Sure. When I was doing the schedule, I was sitting here, I was acting like it was advanced calculus where I'm just like, okay, why are they fighting? And slowly just being like, and Mox fought Will Hobbs, also in the Don Callis family. I am connecting the dots. And okay, so BCC did win against Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher, but Takeshita ran out and he suplexed Mox and, fighting. And then Claudio did come out and saved them. And then Takeshita was indicating that he wants Mox's IGPW belt.
Yeah. No,
Takeshita indicated he wants Mox's IWGP belt. Well. Do you want to talk about Mox's little look?
That was insane. It looked like a Fabio shirt. Like the fact that it was like, I think it was cropped and mm-hmm. open. Oh,
was it cropped?
I think it was a little cropped.
Yeah.
And it was open all the way to like the waistline. I was like, what is this?
It was like a cropped hoodie with the sleeves ripped off and like unzipped all the way. It's like, all right, Mox, like, love the innovation.
Sometimes it wasn't zipped all like unzipped all the way because it was still had like a little bit because it was held together. So it was like deliberately like open. It wasn't just like it was slutty. I'm so sorry,
Mox. He wants you to think about ripping his bodice.
Open. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I want to think about it. So we're aligned in that way. Do you remember when you used to sometimes see Mox in his little shorts with the barbed wire on them mm-hmm. and his knee pads mm-hmm. like a yes. volleyball player?
Mm-hmm. This girls volleyball era.
Oh my God. It feels I miss so long it. Ago now. But I miss it. Classic.
That's how we were introduced to Mox as volleyball player Mox.
Yeah.
Pants and bullshit.
Yeah. They all succumb to them too, except the ones you don't want to.
Hey, Jericho came back.
That's true.
Jericho came back to the panties.
We can all maybe the Young Bucks should get into kind of a panty necessary joke gimmick.
Oh my God. I'm gonna pitch that. I'm gonna be like, have you considered joining the Learning Tree?
I'm obsessed with the phrase panty necessary gimmick. Like I'm imagining flipping through a binder full of potential gimmicks and there's a big warning on one that's like panties required. Mandatory panty. This will not work if you don't strip down to the teeniest little budgie smugglers. Mm. Well, maybe we'll see that. If I had to guess based on what I've been seeing recently, I doubt very much that we'll ever be seeing a Young Buck in a panty. But
no, I think that they're trending. We don't have to get into it, but I'm like, their next gimmick, they're going to be wearing sleeves.
Long
like,
sleeves.
Yeah.
They're doing a never nude gimmick. Like, if one of these days we see Nick's pants split again and there's just a little flash of jean underneath.
That's when we'll know.
Yeah. Well, modesty is very important. They wouldn't want their sisters to stumble, you know, so they gotta keep it covered.
Good God.
We have stumbled.
It's not stopping us, so you don't need to keep trying.
It's like we've been down this whole time. Oh, my God. Anything else we want to talk about here? It's unclear to me if Claudio is mad at his friends. I'll say that, but yeah, I don't care that much.
Considered. Takeshita does make me constantly look at his fashion choices and think, is Gen Z bringing back the hammer pant?
Yes. I think the answer is yes.
It seems to be yes, but I wish they wouldn't.
I wondered if the BCC breaks up, I wonder if Mox and Danielson are essentially going to turn face, which they almost already are. And they're splitting because Claudio wants to stay heel, which I'm like, he was kind of a great face too. So
well, stay heel and do what though? He could do stuff by himself. I'm not saying he can't, but the BCC, their energy is not really that okay, now we're starting to execute a face turn, but Claudio's going to stay heel because he has his own arc planned out. Their vibe is always just like week to week. Here we are. I guess we'll see how we feel.
We showed up. Yeah, we come out. We do whatever we think in the moment. And yeah.
So yeah, kind of a different kind of acting philosophy. little Jeremy Strong method work there. Yeah. Okay, well, let's check in with the elite then.
All right, listeners, there are multiple places in this schedule where Allie skimmed through it and then was like, when I get to this, I'm going to hate myself. And she's just hit the first one. So, Allie, do you want to read what you wrote here?
I don't know.
I can read it. You want a little dramatic reading?
Yeah, please, Anne, read it.
It says, can't get anyone to describe any promos to me. I will simply remember them myself. Backstage promo with New Elite on Dynamite where something, something, Eddie, something, something. I'm not filling in, by the way. This is the text of the schedule. Where something, something, Eddie, something, something, JB said something, dot, dot, dot. Okada called Dax a bitch. Backstage promo with FDR where Cash did, honestly, quite a bad job talking. And then Dax said that Okada is the Young Bucks bitch. I'm sorry, but when he says that word, it really doesn't sound good. And then, how did Dax get this match with Dax?
The really troubling thing is that I was so proud of myself for my performance doing this schedule today, actually, because as you guys know, I'm on new meds fairly recently that really do make it possible to sit down and just do the work, but that doesn't always mean it's good work.
You finished very early today, I thought.
Yeah,
I
was like, you were done by 4, and I was like, wow, that's so early. And then I cracked up when I got in here.
How did Dax get this match with Dax? Okay, well, as I've said here, wait, actually, I didn't finish describing anything. Let's roll it back. Here's what was happening on Dynamite, okay? Let's jam. The Bucks were scheduled to wrestle Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal. And Okada was scheduled to wrestle Dax. And I found out when I watched Collision late that I don't think there's any reason that happened except that Dax was having a match and then Okada was like, Dax, you will fight me this week.
Yeah, that's literally, he just said that sentence. It was like, okay.
All right. And then I did love that everyone else in the New Elite just looked at him like, oh, that's all? Well, okay, you have fun, bud. Go do your thing.
I believe that was the promo also where Nick said, we are the Elite, and you're not. Baby, that is dumb.
I love these guys, you know?
Stupid.
Okay, so the Bucks did have their match versus Christopher Daniels.
Danners?
I do accidentally type Danielson every time in my notes. I know. It's like sorry, Christopher Daniels, but
they're married.
Love you as
that's
much
what
as...
few people know, but Christopher Danielson is his married name. Okay, we did something. We didn't do a great job this week. We didn't watch Collision one time. We didn't know there were going to be so many plot developments on Collision this week.
I don't think it's fair to suddenly throw plot developments on Collision after a full year of nothing.
It was so many because everything is backwards in my mind because we watched Dynamite, but then today I went back and watched Collision. So I'm really trying to get the order of this right. On Collision, Now what? Now what did happen? Now how did? Oh, it was that last week on Dynamite, the Bucks were attacking men, and Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal came out to try and break them up.
Yeah,
FDR, the men in question.
I hope everyone enjoys when we try to remember things from memory off the cuff as we're doing it.
This is not for you. This is for our mental health. It's our little memory game where we watch something and then 20 minutes later we have to tell somebody what we watched and we fail.
Yeah, it staves off Alzheimer's.
Oh my God.
Good for us.
Do you think this is good radio?
Absolutely yeah. not, but that's okay.
Okay. Guys, we got to get, let's just, ooh, we got it. Oh, and your guns are out. I love it.
Both of you just suddenly undressed.
I just got overdressed.
I just rolled my sleeves up. Yeah, I also am getting hot.
Okay. Whew. Okay, we can do this. Last week on Dynamite, Christopher Daniels' son and Matt Sydal ran out to break up a fight that the Elite were in. Then on Collision, Matthew and Nicholas came up to Daniels and backstage. I'm just going to keep saying it, I guess. They came up to him backstage and they were like, what the fuck? Don't fuck with our shit, basically. And Christopher Daniels was like, you don't fuck with my shit. You guys are fucking sucky ass friends, but I've still been your friend for a long time. So don't fucking disrespect me. And
when he yelled in Matt's face and the Young Bucks looked so intimidated, it was so funny.
I reserve the right to cut this later. I would not describe the look on Matt's face as intimidated. I would describe it as discovering a new feeling.
Because it is true that as Christopher Daniels walked away, Nick had this look of just like, what was that? How could he? But Matt was kind of moving his tongue around in his mouth, like, okay. Well, someone just showed a little backbone.
It was a wild little promo. For it, like, it's a happen on Collision. I was like, I don't watch Collision. How could you put this here? Christopher Daniels also said, I was your friend when being your friend was the hardest job around. Hello? That is an incredible line. And I'm like, I care not for Christopher Daniels, but what a line.
I care a little for him because I like the way that he goes back and forth between like kind of like staid backstage HR guy. But then he comes out to his match in, how would we describe the outfit that we saw this week that upon seeing it, I immediately said, he's having a midlife crisis. what was he wearing, girls?
It looked like, okay, swim goggles and kind of like, you know how like sometimes like on a tent, it comes with like a bag that you put the tent in? He like cut a hole in that and put one shoulder in it.
It like looped around. It was just one arm that like looped around his neck. And why did it do? And why was it only the one arm? And why was it that way, you know? And he had an intensity about him that was, again, it's like a middle-aged man who's just like, oh, I'm looking cool tonight because I'm here to do my business and you're going to see who I am.
Yeah. In that promo, he went from like, you know, Toby Flenderson to all of a sudden incredibly fierce and backing Matt Jackson up against a wall. And then his entrance, you're absolutely right. He came down that ramp like he was the hottest shit around. And I was like, you look insane. And yet, yeah, I'd hit it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially now that he's fixed that eye.
I loved though Matt Sydal looking pretty normal behind him, just like, and I'm with him.
Oh yeah,
and I'm here too, and I am dressed normal,
regular shirt,
normal bottoms.
I feel like Matt Sydal is always like the "and I'm also here" guy.
I do feel like there were a few people on Dynamite this week that were like, all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm in a storyline. I'm going to do a storyline. Like, I am going to be, like, I'm going to have character motivations for the first time in 5 years. And good for them, you know?
That's kind of fun. I like the idea that, like, everyone, that some of these these poor wrestlers were starving for the community theater aspect of their job.
Mm. Well,
and they said, I live to serve.
Yeah. It made me think, did you guys see that interview that Max Caster did where he actually for once kind of sounded reasonable and serious, where he was like, Tony keeps hiring new guys, but he has guys that could do the thing that he's hiring the guys for.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He just keeps hiring new guys, and we're supposed to be happy that he's bringing in all these people. Well, I'm not. I want to do the thing. And it was sort of like this week was like Mad Side Hell and Brian Cage being like, yes. I could do the thing. Like, if you gave me a second, I could do the damn thing. Yeah.
Put me on, coach.
Yeah. I just had a lifetime realization that Tony is to his wrestlers as I am to new brands of conditioner that I buy, hoping they will solve my hard water issues. And now I'm imagining all the other bottles of conditioner in my fridge watching me put a new one in there like, we can do it. We have it covered.
Are they in your fridge?
Okay, you know good. I was a little bit like, is there something about conditioner I was like,
is that how she's solving her hard water issues? Is that like she has to keep the conditioner cold?
I'm sorry, aren't we all keeping our fridges full of conditioner?
Allie, if you had doubled down on this, you could have gotten me so easy because I fully was like, I don't know enough about curly hair styles. Oh my God.
No, unless I put
she,
them in
she
my-
learned it on TikTok. It's probably
yeah.
Really
like if she
good.
Had just that's the thing. If she had just doubled down and been like, oh my God, are you guys not doing this? You have to try it. And I'd be like,
absolute game changer. I've got so many bottles of conditioner in there.
Oh my God. No, I keep my conditioner in my shower, and Tony doesn't need as many wrestlers as he has. Those are the big takeaways here.
Maybe we should end every section of this podcast with like your big takeaways, just so people know
what to focus on. It's like me saying at my job, like people are only getting one thing out of these sessions. It's like,
exactly.
I'll let you know what it is. It's about where I keep my conditioner.
It's a little study guide for book groups doing the podcast.
Oh my God. We really could not be more off the rails. What do you guys want to talk about with this match?
What
long
silence? Well, I said we had to be like, what match are we on?
Yeah. I believe we're talking about the what I almost just called the doubles match because I saw challengers this week.
Nice.
Yes. The match itself was fine. Like, I don't. Yeah. There wasn't like that much of interest. I do have to say, so that the Bucks got another set of new gear. They continue to hide their beautiful bosoms for me, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
But I will say that this is an improvement because for the first time, their legs had a little bit of interest. They had stripes with like neon.
You've really been suffering with interest. their boring legs lately.
Girls, the level to which you could have been subjected to multiple rants about how boring their fucking gear is. Everyone needs to thank me. Thank you. Thank me for not doing that, but...
Do you want a round of applause right now?
A little bit. It wouldn't hurt. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, and you were excited to give that one.
I was, yeah. If it's part of a bit, sure.
But they had stripes where the neon from, you know, the cool gear was on it. And I was like, ooh, is that like...
The cool gear.
I don't know what that means.
You know, the...
Not at all.
Come on.
Stripes from the neon from the cool gear.
You know, like the white with the paintball, like color
yeah,
all
move
over
on.
It. I like my Young Bucks gear talk.
So this wasn't the baby blue suit of the gender reveal gear. This was a different.
No, it was a different.
And did you want to move on really fast because you were so excited to talk about your new term you came up with? Is that the problem? You were like,
no.
When are we getting to my term?
That wasn't why at all.
Would you like to say it?
No, not really.
Okay, well, then we'll move on. I think that JB was really good on commentary.
He did do a great job on commentary. He was, I didn't expect him to, but he just kept like coming up with these little jokes of his own. And I was like, he really has grown.
Yeah, it's really like every time someone like Hook coming out there giving an awkward promo, I'm just like, everybody's got to go to Japan and give a promo and do a match every day and learn how to be a pro wrestler.
It's true, but then I also think, like, we have rooms in America, you know, like, why?
I kind of think
that Tony should just be mandating, like, you leave, you do something or whatever. You have to cycle through the room once per
Yeah, they should be doing a show. Promo boot camp where it's exactly. just like, okay, yeah, you walk in and there's like three, like the Dark Order and Trent are in there and you've got to give them a promo and then they grade you. Yeah, and then you go to the next room. Yes, we need to
be running drills. Promo drills. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I'm excited about that. So at the end of this match, the Bucks did win. They retreated up the ramp and they explained that because Christopher Daniels spoke down to them and put his hands on them last week, and they liked it, but they couldn't say that. And because they're, quote, trying to clean up the locker room and office from toxicity, Christopher Daniels was unfortunately fired. It gave nobody any pleasure, but he was. So
do you think that was real? Like, do you think he got, he decided, I mean, not that they really fired him, but his talent relations job, do you think he is
not
going to
wrestle again?
No, like his talent relationship, maybe he's stepping down from. I don't know. I was like, are they doing something fun here?
I don't think that it's fun to play with me any more than I've already been played with over the course of the past month with stuff like he's retiring. It's a work. No, it's a shoot. No, maybe it's a work and maybe it's a shoot. We don't know if his ankle will ever work again. Like, I'm just like, just leave daddy where he is. Christopher Daniels is HR daddy. Leave him there. Please. I like that
you're kind of implying that if Christopher Daniels left his talent relation job, you'd be devastated.
Well, I think I do kind of feel that way, like just a little bit because I don't like change. So I'm like, I can only take so much at a time. And Christopher Daniels has been here the whole time that I've been a fan, and he's been doing talent relations for most of that as well. So I'm going to need him to stay there. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I think that's for my safety and security. We can't lose him. We just can't. Did you like when Matt started doing his little promo where he was being like, let's have a great show, guys. Like, let's get an AEW chant. And he started being like, AEW. And then everyone chanted along with him. And then he broke a little and started laughing because it's like, what the fuck, guys? We're the heels. We're the bad guys.
Everyone was hardcore booing him up until that moment. But the thing that he forgot is that AEW fans really like to chant.
They love to chant. And they love to chant AE Dub. AE Dub.
That's a good chant.
Yep, Brian.
I thought that was fun. Okay.
And JB dumped his whole drink on Tony Schiavone's head, which was delightful. And then they cut back to him looking like a wet dog, so humiliated. It was so funny.
I saw someone say that, like, JB's commitment to his bit is so strong now that he was willing to take a sip of Ric Flair's fucking mushroom drink.
The fact that that drink is mushroom flavored is so...
It's very fucked up.
I haven't, I really haven't engaged with it. I try to pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, let's move on to the other new elite thing that happened, which was the Okada Dax main event. And that definitely did happen. It went on for quite a while. Okada won, I think, semi by cheat. Like, he tried to cheat, but then he didn't get to cheat. But it's like the cheat helped. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Which I think is pretty fucking bullshit. Because I'm like, I understand that you guys are, you're on the goofy heel team now. But like, you're Okada. And that's fucking Dax. Like, you beat him.
You can't be doing this. Yeah, you just don't crush him.
Are you the best in the world or not? Just crush him.
Dax shouldn't even be wrestling singles. It's outrageous.
I do think it's pretty sick that he's obsessed with wrestling singles matches.
I know.
It's like, are you in a tag team or not? Are you committed to your tag team or not? Like, I kind of wish you, in a way, I wish you weren't, because I don't want to see your tag team doing anything anymore. But it's about, as we've said before, the Institute of Marriage.
It is about the Institute of Marriage. I mean, I guess I'd want to get rid of Cash, too, if I was stuck with
him. But it's like, the marital laws apply to every citizen in wrestling. Like,
that's so
it
true.
Doesn't matter, like, who you are. If you have...
It matters that you're married.
If you've made a commitment. Hand fasting, then that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You knew who he was when you married him. So
for better or for worse. Even yeah. if the worst is gun charges.
In wrestling, there's no such thing as no fault divorce.
There's just not.
There's just not. Okay. Well, anyway, they had the match and Dax lost, and then the rest of the New Elite came out to beat him up, as they should, and then Cash and Brian Danielson ran out to help, but as Manolo put it, he was crazy this week. He said, Cash and Brian Danielson were victims to the numbers game. Yeah, they didn't have enough men. That's so true. And so Darby Allin's music hit, and he ran out to even the odds, and he will be the new member of Team AEW. What do you guys think about this as an Eddie replacement?
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, thank God they got an original in there, because, like, when Eddie was going to be out, I was like, he's the only reasonable member of Team AEW, right. And now he's gone? Like, what are we doing?
Right, because I was, like, so prepared for them to replace Eddie with somebody even worse, and I was going to be like, it's over. Like, they were already, like, at a disadvantage where it's like, I'm not rooting against the Young Bucks, but when you're the best person on your team just got injured, I was like, oh, you're in real trouble. But this is a good move.
Yeah, I was a little bit like, watch them put Andrade in there, and I know he doesn't work here anymore, but like somehow they would grab him, throw him
if
in.
if they could they would.
Mm-hmm. I was losing it though. Did you guys hear that Darby got hit with like a pole when he was crouching underneath the stage? So it's like
he said that Dax hit him. Dax hit him with the pole. So not to point fingers, but I believe that we can blame someone, and it's Dax.
So he broke his leg. He got hit by a bus, and then he got hit with a pole. So it is like a little bit of a Final Destination thing, where I'm like, Darby,
why is Darby getting hit by cars and buses so often? Like, Darby, buddy, look both ways, you know?
Like, come on. He apparently was like saving somebody from being hit by a bus, and then he got hit by himself.
Wow. That's the problem with being fearless. You know? It is starting to feel a little bit like he made a deal to have, you know, like 10 years of perfect luck. But then for the next 10 years, he has the worst luck possible, and it's starting to come back and bite him in the butt. And I think he said he's dealing with a lot of stuff, and he said he's not 100%. So it's like, okay, well, I hope that's going okay. I'm happy. He came out in his big pink coat, which I loved. What a look. I wanted to see him and Christopher Daniels on a Zoolander fashion, runway, together. But, I'm happy. I'm just like, oh God, it's like, I wish that Cash could have gone to jail and we could have gotten Darby in there. You know what I mean? Like, I wish we didn't have to lose Eddie to get Darby in there.
I know. It's like, you don't want to wish injury on anyone, but Eddie is the last person that I ever would have chosen to lose if I had to. So
yeah,
I know. Suck ass.
And this whole Team AEW thing is just, it's so stupid.
Such bullshit.
It's not.
Bullshit.
It's not Team AEW. Team AEW is little impish Matt Jackson as a heel being like, AEW, and everyone chanting with him. And it's like, well, there are EVPs. Again, I don't know what to tell you. There are bad boys.
The thing is that, like, if they wanted me to root against the Bucks, which is honestly a, like, really rough idea, having them in charge of the show should have gone badly. You know what I mean? Like, they should be doing things that makes you a potential, like, you know, like, open for choosing a side. Everybody's probably picked their side already, but like, you're sitting there being like, won't anybody stop them? Like, this is bad. This is, they're doing, like, they're not, like, they shouldn't be in charge of AEW, but instead everything they're doing, I'm like, yeah, give them more power, man.
So you endorse their affiliation with Christian and what Christian is doing to our world champion, Leah? You endorse that? Wow. Let's get it on the record.
Now that is a direction they could be going. So here's the thing. Brian Cage said this, like, later. We could talk about it, but he, like, made a comment about siding with the Bucks. And I'm like, if they did like all the heels being like, finally, one of our own is in charge and is like helping us out, like did that like a, like not just with Christian, but like with multiple heels, I'm like, then you could see why like anybody would root against them. But right now, not really.
Yeah. Well, and if you had like a really, you know, really sympathetic team AEW that was all, it was all Eddie and Darby and OC and, you know, Hangman, then it's like, sure, yeah, I'll boo the Young Bucks. They want to get booed right now. I'll cheer for those guys, but I'm not going to cheer for FTR against the Young Bucks.
We have our lines.
Especially, I mean, Matt gave a promo where he was like, team AEW. I am AEW. I invented AEW. And I was like, yeah, baby, you tell him.
I know. Well, and they all keep trying to do these promos where you're like, you started AEW and that was really great. And you did a really good job and everybody loved it. And it's really great that you did that. But also now you're bad though. And it's like, well, like I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it's a little bit of a hard needle to thread, I think.
Yeah, it's a very hard needle to thread. And it's a very funny one for me personally, because again, I'm quite change resistant. So I'm never going to be on the side of someone being like, yeah, they started the thing you love, but now I run it. I'm like, yeah, and you shouldn't. Get out. I didn't want you here. You're not my mom. Okay, I think we got to move on because somehow we've spent 10 years on these two topics. Unless somebody had something else they really needed to say.
No.
Let's move on. Okay, Mercedes Moné and Willow had a contract signing on Dynamite where Willow... first of all, she came out in a beautiful jumpsuit. Oh, I mean, she looked so cool. Good.
Yeah. Great neon. It was like a,
yeah, neon, like lime insane. Green.
Yeah.
Awesome look.
She has been looking so fantastic lately. I think I don't think we ended up talking about it last week, but she reduced all of us to just gurgling with the cleavage bearing oh my God. Last week.
Yeah. Absolutely unreal. Mercedes also looked great. And I have to say the super bright, like blue and like green, like it looked really cool. It was a great looking segment. Yeah. Willow was basically like, I get it. You want this belt, but do you understand what this belt is? And then she did a real like super baby face. Like this belt is blood, sweat and tears or something. I don't remember exactly what she got into. But so she did that. Mercedes did a little bit of her CEO catchphrase. They went kind of back and forth. What did Mercedes had an angle that I don't remember, but it's fine. And then Willow hit Mercedes with, the last time we wrestled, I walked away champion while you didn't walk out at all. Mercedes slapped her and then Willow picked Mercedes up and powerbombed her through the table right on top of the contract. Looks right so on good. Top of that damn so contract. Cool. Very, very fun segment.
Yeah. Willow's honestly a great promo. Like, I feel like I didn't think about it or notice it until lately, and maybe she just wasn't getting many of them, but every time she's been out there, she's been killing it. And, like, very naturalistic delivery and, like, very sensical. Like, everything she says makes sense.
It's so funny that we, the past few weeks, how much we've hammered that home. We're astonished when people make sense on our TVs. And we love to point it out and just be like, yeah, it was completely coherent. Like, I understood how we got from every sentence to the next. It was easy. It was like walking down a path.
They talked like a person talking and everything they said made sense. It's like, what more could you possibly ask for?
We are beaten down.
It's really rarer than you like to think about. But yeah, I think she did a great job. And Mercedes also was fine. It's like, we got to see her wrestle. She's doing fine. You're doing amazing.
I can't wait to see the match. Gradually better though. So it's like, you know,
you got to give people time.
Absolutely nothing she's done has made me mad. Like, and I don't understand how people on the internet are getting mad. I'm like, she's not, I don't think that she is like hit the purse like stride yet, but she's not fucking up.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And she hasn't taken that much time either. So yeah, it seems really excessive. The old internet reactions.
Totally. And it is the kind of thing too, where, I mean, we so rarely meet someone in wrestling and immediately like know how we feel about their character, because there's usually a period at the beginning of like someone's run where you're just like, there's nothing you could say that would really make me understand who you are, especially like a character like Mercedes right now, where she came in a kind of like, I'm really popular, so I'm definitionally a tweener because people are going to cheer me, but my gimmick is also the CEO and I'm going up against a big baby face. It's like, there's naturally going to be a period of dissonance where you're like, okay, I don't really know who you are yet because you're not showing anybody who you are yet. Like that's going to come out later. So we're just riding it out. We're on the roller coaster.
And I think that's part of why I haven't gotten mad is because I'm like, yeah, she's telling me a story. Like she's doing a thing where she's like, I'm a baby face. And I'm pretty sure she's going to be like, just kidding. And like, most of the IWC this week has been like, guys, do you think that Mercedes might not be good? And we're like, yeah, man, she's definitely heel turning. I don't know what to tell you.
She's
the CEO. Crazy. She's bad. Yeah, but I know. It's just none of it seems worth getting mad about. She's doing something with her character. I can't tell you if it's good until I see where she's going. Chill out, guys.
Honestly, like this week, I felt like they were kind of handling that alignment stuff pretty well because it was like, oh, she's not going to get booed like when she shows up because people are excited to see her. But she was getting booed like crazy last night. Yeah. And it was like, oh, it's been a really good progression where it's like people love Willow. Like now we're getting used to seeing Mercedes. So we're not like so excited to see her. Mm-hmm. And we can be like, oh, her character sucks. Like this is a bad, bad character. CEOs aren't good.
It's like merging onto the freeway, right? You got to do it at the right speed.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have done that. I think they have. I'm excited to see the match. And again, it was a really great segment. Really fun.
Yeah, it was extremely fun. Contract signings are always so funny. Do you guys remember, have we seen like both people sitting at the table? I feel like the men tend to be like standing up more and stuff. I kind of loved it.
I think we have because do you remember... Maybe it was the Kenny Hangman.
I think Kenny and Hangman when were sitting.
They have a longer table. They were like farther apart.
I think the table was like angled differently. So it was like you saw it long ways. So they were much farther apart instead of short ways.
They've gotten more into the like CEO's office deal where they set it up that way. But they used to do the opposite heads of the table deal. And I actually do think that's pretty, I like that setup.
It is a fun setup,
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to our next topic. Swerve's estranged Mogul Embassy squashed the Voros twins on Collision. And afterwards, Brian Cage explained that he and the Gates of Agony turned on Swerve because Swerve was so selfish and ungiving as a boss, and he dropped them as soon as he won the title. Like, he didn't care about their success. He didn't want to bring them up with him. But then he assumed he could depend on them when he needed help. No, he couldn't. And Brian Cage said that wasn't the type of guidance and leadership the embassy wanted from Swerve. They want the type of leadership that our EVPs offer. Swerve came out. We had a long segment where he was attacking Gates of Agony and Brian Cage with his steel chain going really, really hard. And they got, you know, whatever, they got beaten. And then later, Swerve had a promo where he was like, I've had it. I thought I had to be a good, like, company man. I thought I had to be the kind of guy who should be champion. And now everyone's saying I've gone soft and everyone's coming at me. Everyone's attacking me. I'm getting attacked by fucking Christian Cage. I'm getting attacked by the EVPs. I'm getting attacked by now my own men. Like, fuck it. I'm just going to be cool and harsh. And I liked that promo quite a bit. I thought it was really fun. And I thought that the way that he delivered that series of people who were attacking him was so funny and next level. He did just look like, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm fucking at it. I've got Christian Cage's slamming shit into my head. I guess it hadn't happened yet. Anyway.
Yeah, I did think that this was really good. I was really impressed with Brian Cage for the first time and how many freaking years. I thought that like he did great and he gave something to Swerve that Swerve was able to work with.
Yes.
And so I did think that energy of like, I've had enough of all of you fuckers was really good. I still think that Swerve is just picking, like, it's not that he can't do it, but he's doing this on hard mode where I'm like, you could have an easier and like, more clear trajectory if you would just commit to either babyface or heel. And I wasn't sure that you were going to pull this off. And now I sort of think you are, like, pulling off, like, being a tweener. But it is playing on hard mode.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, the character just doesn't feel very consistent to me. Like, when he does, like, his whole, like, I'm going to be the first black champion stuff, that's very, like, shoot, swerve, but then he's, like, kayfabe, like, psycho killer stuff. Like, I don't, it, like, doesn't exactly bother me to have him being a tweener, but sometimes it feels a little bit patched together, all those elements.
I think that I agree completely. I think it did make sense to hang a lampshade on it this week and be like, I tried to be a good guy. I tried to, like, step up and be like a real rah-rah face of the company guy. But you all have tried me to my last nerve, and therefore I only can be what I am. I think that that is a good thing to do. But I agree that it's like, okay, well, then we need to stay there. We need to stay in that lane. Like, I think we should stick with that going forward, and we shouldn't have any more, like, nice boy rah-rah stuff. Because you do want it. It's like, you can do anything you want, but I want to feel like I understand, like, what gets your goat, or, like, what makes you go into different modes, or, like, why, you know, you behave different ways, which we've said before is something that lots of wrestlers are not good at, but that guys like Hangman are super good at, which is that you understand, like, his core, like, desires and, like, you know, his, like, inferiority complex and stuff, so that you understand how it can manifest as, like, in good ways and in bad ways. And so that's the kind of, like, consistency that you want. So I thought this was a good direction this week, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I will just say really quickly, Swerve did fight Brian Cage on Dynamite and he won. And then he got, as Taz said, yambag yahtzeed by Nick Wayne. And the patriarchy smashed a picture of his family over his head and got it all bloody because he was just dripping like crazy. It was
bloody. God. He was squirting at one point.
It was very, it was interesting too, because I guess it was glass. I was like, I have that frame. It's from Michaels. So I was like, that was all I was focused on actually for quite a while. I was like, who had to go out to Michaels to get that frame? Like, couldn't you get a frame at Goodwill? And then I was like, why are you telling the wrestlers to go to Goodwill? And I was like, because I believe in going to Goodwill and I believe in buying secondhand. Anyway.
You know what's funny about this lake house that I'm staying in? So it is like trying to pretend that it's a like family home. Like it has all this like live, laugh, love type stuff on it. And it has like some picture frames, but the pictures in the picture frame are clearly the ones that the frame came with.
Oh my God. It's so crazy.
One of the pictures, like it's a nice picture of two little girls on a beach. And then it says like on the picture, it says 8x10 and like the name of the frame. It's like, yeah.
Bizarre. I wish that it was my job to just, I mean, I don't want to work for Airbnb, but I wish it was my job to just stage like places so that it's like, don't worry, I'll find some real pictures.
Yeah, you can get some pictures at the state sales.
Yeah, it's really easy.
The one that came with the frame.
That reminded me that during that segment when they pulled out the picture and held it up, Taz said in the funniest possible voice, 8x10. I was fucking losing it. 8x10.
Oh my God. Wrestling is the craziest.
It's so stupid.
8x10. Oh my God. Okay. I also liked that one of the accusations that Christian Cage was levying against Swerve was the iconic line, "You embarrassed my son." And he's referring, let's be clear, to when Swerve went to Nick Wayne's Mojo Dojo Casa House and just beat the hell out of him. So he was bloody and broken, lying broken in the ring in a pool of his own blood. You embarrassed him.
You assaulted him. the wounds heal, but the emotional scars of that moment.
Emotional wounds never heal. Yes, I know
that's right.
I thought it was a good angle. I like Christian. I like Swerve. I'm excited to see him fight. Yeah. I can't really believe that Double or Nothing is next weekend. I just haven't really been processing that. Like, we are in a real whirlwind of a cycle.
Yeah. All the builds just go so fast when they're only a month apart. It's like, oh, great.
It's too fast. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess that is whatever. I can't get into it this time. I think they go really fast, but we'll see what happens at Double or Nothing. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the summer, like how many storylines they're going to be able to draw out so that they're feeding the different pay-per-view cycles. And like, it doesn't feel like we're restarting a lot. Not that it felt like we were starting from scratch on this one, but I don't know. It's just been fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to quickly check in on mommy Toni Storm? Toni Storm said on Dynamite that her maternal instincts have been kicking in, and she, in that moment, clutched Mariah to her bosom, was kind of petting her head, and Mariah was doing these funny, like, she really did look like a woman who had decided to like do like a sexy baby costume for Halloween. And she was like, I'm a really hungry baby. She was I've just got 30 Rock in my head. She was doing some amazing faces. Toni was cutting a promo on Serena Deeb.
Could it be? I think she did have a line where she was like, thank you for knocking me out so I didn't have to hear more of your story, which did crack me up.
I was pretty distracted, to be honest, during this because I was interpreting what I was seeing.
That's what we do. We interpret. Yeah.
If you didn't see it on our Twitter, One Nation Radio this week absolutely popped the shit out of us because when they were talking about this storyline, Rich said, well, the girls at Tunnel Talk are interpreting what's going on here. And James said in the world.
He actually said we were interpreting it well, which is really important. Yeah. We really needed to hear that.
And James in the world's most perfect voice said, is that what we're calling it? Interpreting?
James, our cyberbully.
Yeah, I was interpreting. And then, as I said here, well, I can't get into all that, but I went on a whole side quest where I was like Googling stuff about Freud and Jung. And
but it is crazy that Freud and Jung, like, that people still talk about them because they are just like old men 100 years ago who made some stuff up.
To watch a video where a woman explained to me, like I'm a little high school student, why Freud still gets taught in psychology classes. And the biggest takeaway was that she was like, psychology as a field understands that it's important to discuss like Freud's contributions because he did get a few really big things right, but he got a lot of stuff wrong, and it has really made the field of psychology seem like pretty messy and bad to some people. So we have to talk about him so we can clean up his mess. And I was like, that seems fair. You may be wondering, like, why are they talking about Freud right now? It's just because I was looking at mommy complex stuff, so I wouldn't worry about it. It's just normal stuff. Anything else to say about this?
I didn't hear a lot of this promo either because I was just watching Mariah, and her series of faces through the whole promo were so funny. I think that I potentially could watch a silent film that is just every face that Mariah has made during a Toni segment from the moment she walked in till now, and I would enjoy the shit out of it.
I agree completely. And also, I have to double back and say, remember before when I said it was like she decided to go as a sexy baby for Halloween? I realized what I was thinking of. And it was in Happy Endings when Max and Penny go as a baby in a stroller. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Yes. Max is a baby. Yeah.
And it's just his face.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of, is that was the vibe of her face. Was that she was inside a costume and she was like, I'm acting my little heart out. This is the only thing I have.
I mentally was picturing the Community Christmas baby song.
I'm a silly, sexy baby. Well, we got a lot of sexy baby content. So...
The fact that Mariah's taller than Tony. Also, the crouch really adds to the faces. I think the crouch to like push her face into the boobs. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. We got to move on for our dignity, I think. Okay. Adam Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly had their big hometown hero Copal Open match in Vancouver, I want to say. Is that where that was?
Everett, Washington.
Oh. No, it was on Collision.
It was in Vancouver on Collision, yeah.
I think it was Vancouver.
It was their first time in Vancouver, I recall.
Yeah. And Cope won. Afterwards, this was a pretty strange little series of events. Okay, so Cope was being like, I respect you, Kyle. And so he raised Kyle's arm like to be like, Kyle did a great job. And Kyle was really hurt. So he's kind of wincing.
And he had given him like a really long hug before that too.
Oh, that's true. He had clutched him quite close. Yeah. A lot of physical affection. And then their hands went down and then Kyle tried to leave and Adam Copeland wouldn't stop holding his hand. And he was grinning, this kind of manic grin at him. And eventually Kyle did manage to like get his hand away. And then Kyle was just like pointing at him like, girl, look at yourself. Like, what was that? This isn't normal. And Adam Copeland looked kind of shaken and his hand was wrapped, which I didn't know if that was just supposed to be because of fighting or whether he was concealing some kind of missed mark, as we discussed last week.
I hope missed someone mark. Heard that and was like,
yeah, well. he got the black spot. But anyway, so he left. So
he wiped blood off his mouth.
Though. Oh, you're like, right.
As
yes.
though it was like in some way influencing him.
The blood was influencing him. Oh, I hadn't fully.
Well, I don't know.
That.
It just looked very like, oh, what am I doing? Oh, I got to wipe this blood away. Like, I don't know.
Maybe he just realized he was like, what you are seeing on the outside, what I feel on the inside. And I must conceal that. But then he didn't conceal it because he went backstage and he did this like barbed wire promo where he's like behind a steel cage being like, Malachi, like my dark thoughts are overcoming me. Like I must meet you in the darkest match of all, a cage match. Like, will you not like play out my darkest impulses with me at Double or Nothing? Meet me on TV next week and let me know. And it was like, you have two paramours and you're being insane with both of them. Like, yeah, I don't know what you want.
Doing it from behind barbed wire, like in a cage. Like, I just remember in high school, like, I was one of the editors of the literary magazine, and I remember, and people could submit art as well and photography. And I remember the faculty advisor being like, yeah, every year you're gonna get a lot of pictures of kids in cages. Like, they're just gonna be taking a lot of photographs of themselves inside. It's like, anyway, so Adam Copeland, good work.
Theater kid.
Yeah. Theater kid to his bones.
To his bones. Okay, so then on Dynamite, Cope came out to the ring to be like, Malachi, what do you say about our cage match? I need an answer to my promposal. And Malachi and his goons came out and like beat him up, obviously. And Buddy Murphy, a man who shouldn't go here, okay? Buddy Murphy took Cope's wedding ring off and handed it to Malachi
told him to. Malachi, yeah,
get said, the ring. Mr.
Get,
Murphy.
Take the ring off his finger. I'm so worried about what's going to happen to me in this second. I'm worried about it.
I don't know. What happens. The people know what's happening here, okay? They know who we are.
Just turn it
they
off.
They know we're interpreting.
Listen, if you're not into interpretations, don't finish this podcast. You were done.
No. Well, how did you get this far? I guess because we hadn't gotten into any of our deepest interpretations, but like, what else are you supposed to, if you're like, get his ring off and it's his wedding ring, like, what else am I supposed to think?
Yeah, I was literally like, is his wife going to come out? Because she's also a wrestler, apparently, but she didn't. No.
Nope. No. So they have his wedding ring. And then Kyle runs out to save cope, which I'm like, after what transpired on Collision. But I guess sometimes when you're making a new friend, they do like kind of weird stuff, but you're like, maybe that's normal. Where'd they come from? So he runs out, but then he gets knocked out too. And then Malachi cuts a promo in his, you know, his dark rainbow world, like in where the void. Lights are glinting. Like
on the good place. Malachi, go back to your void.
Okay, Malachi's Derek is so funny.
Oh, he's just got wind chimes for genitals. And
for someone to just be like, this is my boyfriend Malachi, I made him my boy.
Oh my god.
Okay, so he goes back to his void and he's like, Adam Copeland, and he's playing with the wedding ring. I don't know what he's saying about it. Oh, he's like, you're a bad man. This, you may think you're a good man because you have a wedding ring, but when I take this ring away, now you are a bad man, and I will fight you in the steel cage match on one condition, that if you lose, you bow the knee to the house. Bend the knee. You propose to me.
He said, I took your wedding ring. Now you can give in to your darkest impulse.
So much worse than that. He said,
adultery.
I took your wedding ring. You are no longer married. When I.
He said that?
No, of course not. What? I'm interpreting.
We're interpreting. Well, I
don't know. She said it in a tone that I really believed.
She did.
When we do the cage match, I will be fighting for your hand. And if you lose, you have to kneel at the altar with me and say wedding vows. Like, the whole thing was like, you are the bride now.
Oh my Copeland. God.
And like, when he was in his void with the ring, it was like he was doing weird dark magic to it. Like, he was like,
he was playing with it. He was fondling it.
It was, I'm sorry, there was some weird Game of Thrones-ish going on here where he was like, you know,
ring now, I'm married to you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of object holds power.
Right. Mm-hmm. He who holds the ring holds the trough.
The hand. The heart.
Yeah. The heart. I mean, maybe. Like, he's out there not letting go of Kyle O'Reilly's hand. So right, that Malachi.
And Kyle is like, listen, man, I think that if you get married to someone, it's because you should, like, mean it or whatever. Like, don't let him make you his dark bride. Like, you shouldn't do that. And
I think you're making Kyle sound very selfless. And I don't think that Kyle is immune to Adam Copeland's charm. I think that Cope is wandering around that backstage like a big old gay catnip. Like, he is just giving off vibes of, like, seduce me. Somebody seduce me. Because he has a life partner that he's not on speaking terms with right now. Okay, that's really rough. Yeah. It's really rough. And it's not his wife, of course. It's Christian. So people see that void and it's they want to fill it.
I know I can't throw any stones because I think I'm like really deep down a Malachi Copeland.
I know you are.
Dark wedding.
I can barely see you anymore.
But it's so funny to me that you're reading Cope and Kyle as romantic because I'm like, I still don't know what Kyle's doing anywhere.
I don't know what he's doing, but I just don't think he would say no. I just don't.
He might not say no, but it'd be like for his own reasons, for his own agenda, not because he wanted to get with Copeland, though.
Right. Like, I mean, I think he might want to do role play where he's like, imagine we're on a ship. Like, it's so cold. Like, we're huddled under the fur. And like, when I
you
kiss
have to
you,
get
like,
naked
I bite you and I draw a little blood and I take sustenance from it. Like, yeah, that might be part of the play.
So when Kyle saw the blood on Copeland's mouth and was pointing to it, he was like, kiss me.
Hungry.
I want that blood on my tongue.
Do you think this is good radio?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's honest.
It's honest.
Okay.
So true.
I think we're all interested in spite of Malachi's best efforts to alienate us.
I also think, like, it's like, we are doing more work about the storyline than any single person involved. already thought about it more than they have.
We're building worlds. I cannot wait. Do you think, is there any chance that Adam Copeland loses and bends the knee? Could that happen?
This is for the bell, right?
Yeah.
I don't, maybe. I mean, maybe.
I don't know. That really sums up our relationship to the belts. Where it's like, for a moment, could I'm be. Just like, what does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with anything? You asking if it's like going to go with his like wedding outfit or? Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking Malachi's got the ring now. Is he also going to get the belt? He's going to take all of his accessories.
And when you have a man's accessories, you have his heart.
That's right. Yeah. That's how
I am fully takes like, why barber. Would he want the belt? He wants the Copeland's love and his oath.
He's a dark fairy king and he wants to take him to his kingdom where he can never leave.
Exactly. All right. According to Cage Match, it is a title match. So,
okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I do think it's a possibility. I mean, there's no way Cope's going to hold the title for long. So, and you know, Tony inexplicably fucking seems to like Malachi. So, yeah.
And if Malachi has a belt, he won't be expected to lose very often at all.
That's
once you have a belt, you only have to lose again when it's time to lose the belt.
And I really would be thriving in my body and my soul if I got to watch a couple months of Copeland.
As the dark queen.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Being like, yeah. I must free myself, but he has my ring.
Okay. I just had the mental image that I just had. Of Malachi Black with Cope on his arm as his dark queen facing off against Christian with Mother Wayne.
And Mother Wayne, sure. Yeah. That's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
It's so fucked up that AEW
and then they
won't
do a wife swap episode.
Wife swap. Yeah. Yeah. And Malachi has Copeland's ring like hidden away, like in a locked chest, like a Selkie.
Oh,
skin.
Like a Selkie thing. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Mm.
You know what? I think Mother Wayne would actually thrive in the House of Black.
Yeah, that's not a bad wife swap. I do think she'd be great over there.
But why won't AEW film for me the actual like comedy wife swap episode where they're doing the talking heads where Mother Wayne is being like, somebody has got to whip these guys and gals into shape. Like they don't ever pick up their underwear off the floor.
I don't know why their
Mother
underwear
Wayne
is
tried to get I don't know where they live.
Buddy and Brody they live in the void, obviously.
Buddy and Brody. Really, I've never fully appreciated what like little boy twin names they are.
Two she's sons, like, I wife Buddy swapped with the, he's got these horrible twin sons, Buddy and Brody.
And do you remember the way wife swap is set up where it's like the first half of the week the swapped wife has to do the house she's in's traditions, and then the second half she gets to make them do it her way. So it's like for the first week she has to wear all black and recite poetry in the void. And then the second week she gives Buddy and Brody haircuts like Nick Wayne's. Now you're gonna go outside and play for 2 hours
and dresses them in their little golf their little polo shirts. Yeah, and
she says, like, when they have to do flips.
You have to go out and skateboard for 2 hours.
Brody's trying to bark, and she keeps saying, Brody, not in the house. You remember Mother's rules. Not in the house.
Isn't it crazy that Wife Swap was a real show that really happened?
It's fucking insane.
And I think I weirdly watched a lot of it, too. And I don't know why, because I don't think it was good for my development.
No, but it was sort of compelling in a weird way.
I haven't watched that much of it. I've only watched like some of the episodes that people have said like that one was insane, that are kind of sad to watch because the reason they're insane is because one of the houses you're like, I think that maybe that father is abusive. Like, this is a really bad. And where, like, I watched one where, like, the mother was leaving basically, like, okay, well, good luck with all that. Like, that is not cool.
This kid I went to middle school with was on it, and he also later played like a salt shaker on Blue's Clues. And those are the only two facts.
Excuse me?
Wow, that's, I don't know what to do with that at all, really.
How much did the salt shaker talk?
Not enough that you, that this did anything for him.
Was he an adult salt shaker or a child?
No, child.
What's the difference?
Well, I just wondered at what point in his life was he?
He was a child actor, and he
okay.
He was applying for roles all the time, and that was his big break.
Wow. Oh my gosh!
And like he used to walk around, and people would be like, "Can you believe it? He was on Blue's Clues." Not as like Steve or anything.
Not as Steve. No, Steve was only played by one man.
Oh, he was just a salt shaker. Oh, I got excited for a second.
And Steve. You couldn't tell by looking at him. He wasn't Steve, but...
It's a child, yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's move on to, very quickly, our last topic of the night. Let's briefly check in on Jericho and Hook. Hook returned to TV this week with a promo on Collision, which was kind of like he was in the city, on the street, like saying something that I don't remember because his hat looked so stupid.
Why does he wear it like that? He looks like a dumb toddler whose parent was not paying very much attention.
I really didn't like that hat look. And then he also was on Dynamite, and he had an in-ring segment with Jericho and Big Bill the Redwood, where what even happened in this back and forth? Did he call Jericho out? He did. He came out to the ring. He called Jericho out. He was like, "Jericho, get out here." So Jericho learning treat on out there. And then he was like, "I want my belt back." And Jericho was like, "Ah, the impatience of youth. Like, simply because one wants a belt does not mean one can get one, young man."
He was really in his element. He was having fun.
It's so funny. When he comes out doing that wave with the big smile and his jeans were really tight. It was just
The Miss America waving with this super fake smile. And the intro is so good now with that little intonation of, "I'm the learning tree." It's so good.
I truly love the gimmick so much. The one piece of feedback I have is just that it's clear to me that he has struggled a little bit to figure out how to convey so that wrestling fans can understand it, but without it sounding too over the top, the thing about... I'll take anybody's spot. I just want to be here with you so bad. Every time he says it, I'm like, that is really on the nose. It's like a very on the nose version of it. But I do understand that you have to be pretty obvious for the audience to get it. So
yeah, especially the IWC. The amount of stupid things that this week, I was like, I'm sorry, you just figured that out?
And then after this, so I think he said, oh, he has to earn it with a qualifier. He's like, if Hook earns it with a qualifier, then he can fight for the belt again. And then backstage, there was a segment with Hook and Renee and Shibata where they were kind of being like, "We are friends." And Hook was like, "I am going to get my belt back from Chris Jericho." And Shibata was like, "Well, I really want to get my hands on Chris Jericho too." And then they were both just like, "Well, what do we do if we both want to get our hands on Chris Jericho so bad?" Oh, I guess we'll fight each other if we have to. And then Samoa Joe showed up in the middle of this for reasons I low-key couldn't. I mean, I know that he and Hook were having like a feud at one point. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but it was so funny for Samoa Joe has not once mentioned that he had the AEW belt. He's like, that part of my life is behind me, and thank God. And I'm on island time. Baby.
Yeah.
I am on vacation.
His energy of just wandering through the backstage making fun of people is like, yeah, he's like, I've got no cares whatsoever.
It is very much like he used to head up a division, but they took it away from him. And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to do that work anyway. Like, thank you for the demotion.
This is at Hunk University. He had to be department head last year, but he's off duty this year. And he's like, I don't show up to office hours and no one can say shit about it because they don't need my signature for anything.
Absolutely. He's like, some other poor sap is doing all the paperwork.
I think this is all totally fine, and a lot of stuff about it was funny, but I will say that Hook does need to do, he does need to do promo drills. He needs to go to what I guess I'll now call the room that we have in America.
Go to the room. That sounds so like ominous. Like,
go to the red room of
pain. Go be re-educated, Hook.
Yeah, he does need more practice, but this is the first time I feel like he was trying. All of his other promos really relied on him not speaking.
Yeah.
And this is now twice that he's done a significant amount. And so I am like, this is what he needs to be doing. Like,
totally.
Low stakes pressure with Chris Jericho is like, if Hook has it, this is where it's like going to start coming out.
Yes, that's totally true. And I want to be clear, I'm not being like, Hook sucks. No. Kick him off TV. Hook is an interesting case of like he managed to coast for a long time on like the no talking gimmick. So it is just more kind of like obvious when suddenly you're like, Hook, you're a little silly when you speak. Yeah. You have a slightly silly, wacky vibe.
It's working. You look so cool when you're being quiet, and then as soon as you open your mouth, you're like, why is your hat like that? Like, what are you? You're not cool at all.
It's what every like quiet guy lurking in the back of the classroom just doesn't want to hear, is that, if you open your mouth, it's all going to go sideways.
You have no more mystique.
You were cool when you were silent, but now I think you're not. You're actually good. No, but I'm transfixed with, like, you know, what we were talking about, you know, last week or the week before, that like part of working with Jericho is that you learn a lot about yourself. And it's like, you know, I think this is where OC went from somebody who never talks and has a one note gimmick to being like, oh, I'm so mad at you that I'm actually going to try. Yeah. Like, and there's other people that have also like figured out dimensions of their character, but like Ricky never did. Like, Ricky never became anybody else. And it's not that
Ricky became a guy who wants to go to WWE.
Yeah. And like, not that Adam Cole really needed to learn from Jericho, but he didn't use Jericho to find new facets of being a face. So it's like, I'm very interested in this opportunity that Hook has, and like thinking about like, okay, so you, like, this is the moment where you have to come up with another part of your character that isn't silent, cool guy. And it's like, can he do it, or is he going to be Ricky? And there's no way to tell yet, but I'm very interested. Right.
Yeah. It was interesting too, because like Taz is so good at talking and charismatic and funny. And so it'll be interesting to see if like Hook got, like, he got a lot of charisma, which Taz is very charismatic, but like, did he actually get like, can he say words?
Can he talk?
The hat looked really stupid, but the actual promo, the one that he did that was like zoomed into his face, I didn't think he did a bad job talking.
No.
The hat looked stupid, and there was like a little bit of a like sullen, like, I want my toy back. But like, I think that there was glimmers of like, this could work.
It wasn't exploring new worlds, which not that somebody should do that in, you know, when they're early in their promo career or whatever, but it's clear that he doesn't have a natural affinity for it.
Well, it's interesting to have like watched JB be really similar, and then he's come
that's
a long
the
way. So it is
like,
possible.
That's true. Yeah. I'm like, but, clear, yeah. like JB was so bad. Like, and he was also silent, right? Like the, when he was with Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus talked at first. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's sort of like, I guess I'm going to become one of those people and be like, send Hook to Japan. I don't know.
No, send him to the room. We have a room. We could have a room. We need a room.
It would honestly be a great reality show if you were like, okay, we've got all these wrestlers, all these young wrestlers. We're going to set up four rooms. Like, the judges are going to be in each. You get to see, like, Eddie chit-chatting with whoever the other judges in his room are. And
this would be my fucking, like, ideal reality show. Like, and I'm picturing it like Shark Tank, except with wrestling gimmicks, where, like, a wrestler comes up to the judges panel and is like, okay, here it goes. My name is Mad Frankie. Ready? And then, like, he gives a promo. And the judges are like, that's fucking shit.
It's just American Idol, but for wrestling.
It's like, pitchy. Like, bad song choice.
Okay, if it's American Idol, but for wrestlers, I still want the judges to be Simon and Paul.
It would be funny to get non-wrestlers in there to judge, too. Oh, yeah. Just be like, say something coherent to me and see how that goes.
Is he going to get a standing ovation? Can I take us back 1 minute just really quickly to say, Leah, that I agreed with everything that you were saying about, like, Hook, you know, we have to see what he will make of this opportunity. And also, I think you entered the kayfabe world and became, like, the PR person for Chris Jericho's Learning Tree Academy.
Leah's giving a TV commercial for the Learning Tree University. Like, everyone who enters, they have the opportunity to come out ahead. Now, some of them make more of that opportunity than others, but you will learn a lot. And, you know, I think we can see past successes that have come out of the Learning Tree.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's up to you what you choose to take away from the limited time that you get with the great Chris Jericho.
Rebuttal. I'm not the one who typed Christ Jericho into this schedule.
Well, that's not fair, because I always do that on accident. And I would say that if we could roll back every time I've typed it and deleted it, we'd probably find I've typed Christ Jericho more times than I've typed Chris Jericho. I said I agree with you, Leah, but I'm also advocating for you to get a job. I'm saying, Jericho, hire.
I'd love to work for Chris Jericho.
It's like, you need somebody to sell your University of Phoenix degrees online or whatever. She's right here.
Honestly, Jericho should do that. He should get a wrestler in to be his, like, Stokely. I mean, Stokely's doing his own thing, but, you know, like, a Stokely type to be like, yeah, like, promo my university.
Totally. And to, yeah, oh my God, someone other than Jericho, right, but who's going around backstage and handing out, like, pamphlets and being like, you know, if you want to express interest, like, you know, we never know, like, of course, Mr. Jericho's only going to choose people that he really sees something in, but you can always express interest and he'd be happy to come check out your match.
I would love this, because you could also do so many fun goofs where, like, Renee is like, is it an accredited institution? And whoever it is like, you can pay with credit.
They tell everybody what their tree nickname would be before they get there. Like, if you were to join the Learning Tree, just so you know, you're going to be an oak, I bet.
Maybe they only reveal the first letter because it's proprietary. Mm. So it's like you could get the rest of this nickname for the low, low price of $160 a week.
Which you can pay with credit,
Which you can pay with credit. In fact, I doubt he'd accept cash. Who knows? Okay. Was there anything you really wanted to talk about that we did not get to?
Don't think so.
That's good, because I think we've run quite long.
I think we're at 90 minutes, to be honest.
Oh, no.
Maybe some of them come out, because there were quite a few slips of the tongue in there. Cut that. Okay. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also find this podcast on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great podcasts. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we're often having kind of mildly deranged conversations, but also seeing extremely cute pictures of everybody's pets. Stay frosty. And as always, please, please, please come back next week.